Journalist David Swanson was embedded in Ar Ramadi with Ryan Jarabek's unit on April 6, 2004, the day Ryan died. Ryan was killed along with seven other Marines in an ambush at the corner of Gibson and Nova. Swanson says the Marines knew that corner well, too well. They knew it was dangerous, and they resented having to patrol it every day at the same hour.
The Marines would walk a perimeter of their area of operation every day at that point and look for IEDs in the road and just, you know, get a feeling for what the people were doing in the area. And at that intersection, the second lieutenant that was kind of escorting me that day said, you know, keep an eye open here. These people haven't waved to us for a couple days, and just be alert. He'd rather I hang back with him. And we made it through, and there were some schoolgirls coming home, and that was the last time I saw John Robleski.
The lieutenant who warned you, who kept you alive.
Yes.
These guys you went out with, you'd only known them for a few days, but you felt as though you knew them pretty well by that time.
Well, not well, but each day it changed from, you know, who the heck is this guy, to where are you from in the States, to, well, I haven't seen a civilian in a while, you know, what's going on back home? And they had no idea of what had happened in Fallujah the day or two before. And I would talk to them and tell them what I knew. But it was pretty quiet. You know, in Baghdad at the time, we could go out to restaurants, go shopping.
And then the firing began.
Well, the firing happened all over the place. You know, just RPGs were flying and blowing up, and we were on roofs, and they were hitting the walls below us. And the group we were responding to were pinned down in a garage, and they were taking heavy fire.
And you, of course, didn't have a weapon. You had your camera. You were shooting the men who were shooting back. You must have been very aware of them.
Very much so. You know, that's the whole controversy about being embedded. They're the guys that are protecting me. I'm trying to look enough different than them that theoretically the enemy doesn't single me out, but that seems to not work in your favor during this war. Again, we're all trying to be objective, but these are the guys that are feeding me, and, you know, you're hoping for the home team to win.
There was one of them in the video that I saw who you said actually climbed on top of you at one point, maybe to protect you, maybe to use you as a firing platform. But it does sound as though they took you in.
They did. They did. These were kids half my age and were invincible, at least in their minds. And the one young man, Charles Lauersdorf, climbed on my back. He said he was using my backpack as a platform for his weapon, but I know in my heart of hearts he was protecting me.
Some of these men you knew, you talked about Lieutenant John Robleski. You'd actually been chatting with him 2-3 days before he was killed?
I was introduced to him the day before, and then we'd spent about 12 hours walking together, talking about New Jersey, talking about Pennsylvania and fishing, and where we'd like to go when this is over, and asked him if he had enlisted after 9/11, and he said he had done that and was a fan of watching the History Channel and wanted to be part of the Marines.
There was another young man, a very famous photograph, as a matter of fact. A lot of people saw it. It's a striking photograph. Aaron Aon, can you tell me about the day that you took the photo?
This was April 6th, and the firefight had ended, and we were walking to the intersection of Gypsum and Nova, and another group of Marines came out to pick up what was left of the Humvees and, you know, gather up weapons, and engineers were there to explode grenades that were left on the ground. And Eric, you know, got in the Humvee with, I believe, all four tires blown out and tried to get it started. And from what I recall, it had about 24 bullet holes in the windshield. And Eric is the Marine that died 2 days later on April 9th when he ran over an IED and then got out of the vehicle and a second one went off. So I'd shown him the photograph on the papers the next day, and he was kidding about, you know, he was so famous, and then he was just gone the next day.
It's an extraordinary photograph with all of the holes in the windshield, but one large one that he's peering through at you. You must look at that and think about what happened later, I suppose, every time you look back.
Well, there's a large print hanging at the Inquirer where I work as you walk in the back entrance, and I just slide my hand across it every time I pass it.
But it also must have been moving, almost shocking, to photograph the wounded, to photograph the memorial services. What was it like that day?
Well, the memorial services didn't happen until Easter Sunday, and that was, I believe, April 11th. And there was an M16 at the front with 15 or 20 dog tags hanging from it. And the different captains were saying their words to everyone seated and standing. And I just couldn't get over the fact that it was Easter Sunday and what Easter is going to mean to the parents and relatives of these young men that had died.
You have a photograph of that M16 with the dog tags hanging on it, and it's a very visceral moment looking at all of those dog tags hanging on the rifle. The wounds must make it real. In fact, you were wounded, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was as minor a wound as you could have, but I can't think, 3 inches one way, 3 inches the other way. But it was just a very small graze on the inside of my right arm.
I understand why you say that. At the same time, being shot has to be a big deal.
Well, I wonder who the guy was that pulled the trigger. I wonder if he was one of the dead bodies, I saw that day. I can't tell you which direction it came from. It's just a very personal moment. I didn't see it happen, and I just felt it happen. And I wanted to ask the person in front of me, I think I've just been shot. What do you think? And then at that point, a whole load of bullets came at us, and we dove in this ditch.
Wow. When you think back on that day, on April 6th, 2004, and on the days that followed it, is there any image that just sticks with you that won't go away, that maybe helps you make sense of what happened?
Two images that just come to mind. One are Private Ryan Jerebeck's broken and bloody glasses in the gravel. And I took one photograph of that just because I thought it said more than any shot of a body that, the Marine wearing these glasses had passed. But another image in my mind that I just absolutely will not forget, and I did not take a photograph. It was pitch black, but the Humvee that was attacked was being towed by a 7-ton truck. And I sat on the truck, and all four of the wheels were sparking and burning, and rubber was burning off the tires. And the body of Travis Layfield was in a body bag in the back of it as three other live Marines stood at guard. It just was dragging what was left of the Marines back to combat outpost that night.
David Swanson is a staff photographer at the Philadelphia Inquirer. Swanson was embedded with the 2nd Battalion, 4th Marine Regiment in Iraq, photographing the fighting in Al Ramadi on April 6, 2004.